Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
And let's say hello to Connell McShane, the anchor over at News Nation. Hi, Connell. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm all right, John. How's everything with you?
Pretty good. I'm a little maybe topsy-turvy today because we just got back from an international trip with some listeners yesterday. So it's that whole sleep fog and time adjustment and stuff like that that you go through, you know?
All right. Where were you guys?
We were in Paris, and it was, who doesn't want to go to Paris any time of year? We had a nice time. You know, it's the cliche, but you make such wonderful friendships when you travel, you know, with a group.
That's true. So, that is true. Yeah. Well, that's great. So, well, we'll work you through it. We'll get you through the show.
Well, I understand I'm supposed to be speaking to you now in Times New Roman. Is that the, while I was gone, did we change the language
yes,
or just?
That's now a requirement, I think, for everybody in the United States. None of this, we don't need any elitist fonts. Okay. Right. So get your act together.
Were you surprised by what has happened in Indiana? That is, that they won't redistrict?
A little, because the pendulum kind of swung on this a few weeks ago when the story was kind of gaining momentum. The result that we got yesterday was what was being reported, that the Republicans were going to go against the president and the governor, Mike Braun, and refuse in the state Senate to approve the new maps. And then it started to seem like, all right, no, I think they'll get in line, and if Trump says we need this, they're gonna vote for it. But nope, at the end of the day, they did not. So, you know, it's a relatively big story. You know, not just in Indiana, but the idea that a state legislature, in this case, the state Senate of Indiana, would defy the president, defy the Republican governor about these mid-decade maps. And I guess we don't know exactly how all of this will play out yet, but it doesn't look like the redistricting effort for Republicans will gain them as much at the end of this as many of them had hoped, including the president.
What do you mean?
Well, in terms of seats, I think when they started it, they thought, all right, we'll go state by state, and the Democrats have already kind of done this already in most of the places that they could do it, but instead California was able to match the five in Texas, and then the Republicans figured, all right, well, we'll go to Indiana, and we'll go across the Midwest, and state by state, we'll pick up more and more seats. And it hasn't necessarily played out that way. Now, at the same time, the Democrats, even, they're pushing things in places like Maryland where they might not get their way either. So, you know, I don't know how much different of a midterm election this will actually be, where, you know, usually the party in power has a tough time. That may still be the case. I think the other thing to watch, though, is that Louisiana case where the Voting Rights Act was part of it, where if there's a loss there, then that could be a net gain if there's a loss for the Democratic side on that, that could be a net gain for Republicans. But I just don't think it'll be as big of a story as some people thought it was maybe a month or two ago.
One of the margin was telling, too, in Indiana, 40 of the 50 senators are Republican, 40 of 50, but the vote went 19 to 39. So of those 40 seemingly safe votes, they only got 19, and so maybe the outcome wasn't as surprising as the margin.
That's true, and I think the wider, you know, thing to watch, I think, in general, is how many times do we see Republicans, in this case in one individual state, but in other cases do we see it more and more on Capitol Hill that stand up to the president. You know, it's happening a little bit. I mean, I think there was like the big defense authorization act, the big defense bill that passed earlier in the week that had some Ukraine money in it. I don't think the White House was thrilled. It's actually spending more than the White House wanted to. I don't think the White House was thrilled with that. So, and some of that, you know, Democrats helped, but some of that was supported by Republicans. It's isolated now in terms of the examples, but they're starting to add up a little bit where you can tell this president's a lame duck and that he's struggling politically,
right,
and
right,
that his own party's saying, all right, maybe not every time you say jump, we're not going to ask how high.
Well, it's true. He won't be at the top of the ticket, but these guys will run again when he is still president, and his threat of redistricting, or rather of primarying these guys stands. In fact, he said in a lengthy post, anybody that votes against redistricting and the success of the Republican Party in Washington, D.C. will be, I am sure, met with the MAGA primary in the spring. I just wanted to talk about that sentence for a second. And the success of the Republican Party in D.C. In other words, he's telling these state legislators that the national party is more important than your district. The Republican Party, obviously the federal, you know, government in D.C., will be, I am sure, met with a MAGA primary in the spring. And these guys evidently have decided that that threat is not as threatening to them as voting against their own state's best interest, or at least their local interest, their local autonomy.
Yeah, let's see what happens to a guy like Roderick Bray in the Indiana State Senate, and if you know, primaries against these people are actually successful. I think Trump's had more influence so far on the federal level, like going after, you know, we have Don Bacon on the show a lot, the Republican congressman from Nebraska, who's been never afraid to speak out against Trump, even though he agrees with him on a lot of things, but never afraid to speak out when he disagrees. And, you know, he's retiring. There's example after example of people who've stood up to the president or gone against him in his own party that don't stay at office. Marjorie Taylor Greene, obviously, I think probably the most prominent example lately. But I think that that type of influence and power is more limited on the state level, where the old saying that all politics is local is even more true, you know, for people. So we'll see if Trump really has the influence he thinks he has in state legislatures and state senates. I don't think it's as much as you see in the United States Congress.
Are you surprised by the administration's policies or actions in Central and South America? This, in the week that I've been gone, didn't seem to let up at all.
No, if anything, it's picked up. It's ramped up. Surprised? I mean, I don't know, because, you know, Trump's been telegraphing this for quite a while, that he wants to be aggressive against these drug traffickers in the Caribbean, and we'd already been having discussions about what, you know, was he crossing legal lines and the like. You know, I guess maybe slightly surprised with the seizure of this oil tanker this week, kind of taking it up another level, saying that we're going to go after, you know, more and more tankers if it comes to that. And many of them have been previously sanctioned. In isolation, that wouldn't be as big of a story if we weren't flying fighter jets near Venezuela and blowing up drug boats and the like. So I think that, you know, it feels like, and Rand Paul, who's obviously a Republican, has said this yesterday or the day before, it feels like, you know, we're being, you know, we're on our way to war with Venezuela. But are we? It's always tough to tell with Trump. It feels that way. It feels as if regime change is the goal, even though they say it's not. But as quickly as he does something like this, he has a habit of pivoting in the other direction. So it's not sure where all this ends up.
Pretty dramatic to see the video of guys rappelling from helicopters. Last time we saw that was when they were landing in Chicago. Now that I think about that, they literally did that here. But so the helicopters drop these Marines or Coast Guard members onto this tanker. We take it over. The president was asked what happens to the oil, and he said, well, we keep it, I guess. Last question. Yeah. Do you know what happens to that boat, that crew, and the oil in it?
I don't. I think there's some, you know, there's got to be some a debate about that. The president, he was very clear, but he says things like that all the time. I mean, like, I remember back when they were debating it in the Middle East years ago, he says, well, why didn't we just keep all the oil? And, you know, my understanding is that, you know, it's not always that simple when you do something like this. I don't know exactly how all of that's going to play out. Seems like international law should play a role in all of this, but I'm not sure how much we're looking or abiding by all the rules of the road, so to speak. So, I mean, I guess we'll see. It seems like a strange phrase to use to say we're in uncharted waters, but maybe this is literally the case with the way Trump's going about this.
Touché. Colin McShane, the anchor at News Nation. We'll watch you at 2 o'clock on Comcast, DirecTV, Dish Network, et cetera, et cetera. Nice to talk to you today, Connell. Happy holidays.
Same to you, John. Have a good one.